This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, also knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we call upon you to bless this service, Lord, to the honor and glory of your name, that you would empower it with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and truth, and that you might move among our hearts, draw us closer, strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that we might truly be the witnesses of your great grace. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" This is coming from Peter. Did Peter understand what the Lord was doing at this time? Was it important that the Lord do what he was doing for the disciples? Not only for them, but for us as well. And so this is important. We don't always understand everything that God is doing. And by the way, we need to carefully approach the Word of God, because sometimes there are things that God wants to reveal to us from a familiar portion of Scripture that if we're not careful, we'll glaze over and miss what God is trying to say. So Peter asks that question, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" And we know, if you're familiar with the portion of Scripture, Peter thought that he was not worthy and that was beneath the Lord to do that. And yet the Lord is high royalty. He came down out of glory. And now he's getting ready to go back. He knows this, and he's doing some things to that inner circle of people that really want the will of God and want the grace of God in their lives, and yet they want this, and they don't really understand all about it, do they? I hope and pray. I want you to know this. I'm on your side, and I want God's best for your life. We don't always know what God's best is for our life. We think we do. We think, well, if I'm living right with the Lord, this is going to happen and this is not going to happen. This is going to go this way and this is not going to go that way. And so when those things don't come to pass as we think, Lord, what are you doing? Dost thou wash my feet? No, Lord, this is not right. And that's where Peter was coming from. He came from the perspective of, this is not right. This is beneath you, Lord. And yet God lovingly guides and protects his own, and yet wants to lead them into the green pastures. This is a green pasture, but it might be a bittersweet experience that Peter yet did not understand. So I want you to contemplate this. First of all, he's got his inner circle of disciples that are right there with him. This is a private conversation, not just with his disciples, but with his friends. We find that out, right? God wants us to be so intimate with him that we are his friends, right? He's our heavenly Father, but just as Abraham was called a friend of God, God wants that for every believer if we'll have it. If we'll seek him, if we want that, God wants to do that work in our lives. By the way, this is also a time of consolation to his believers in him. He's getting ready to depart. The Lord knows what they're getting ready to experience. They don't fully understand it. They don't really fully understand it. Do you think they understood that he told them he was going to the cross, but do you think they fully comprehended that? He told them that he had to die at the hands of sinners, but did they fully understand that? Or were they dismayed when all of it took place? By the way, listen,
Are you and I sometimes dismayed when things come to pass? And God knows that, but he wants to give us understanding. He wants to help our faith in himself, and he wants us to have that, how would you say, stability of being on a solid foundation so that we're not blown around by every event. It's not that we're not moved. It's not that it's wrong for our emotions to be affected, but it is important for us to know where our harbor is. It is important to know for you and I where our safety and where our assurance comes from. But that has to be something that we seek as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It troubles me. It troubles the Lord when people say, but Lord, Lord, look what we're doing for you and look what we've done. Surely this will be acceptable in your sight. God says, I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. It's important that we're not looking to what we're doing for God, but what God has done for us. It's not our righteousness. If we're looking to what we do that's right, all of it's wrong. All of it is wrong. Let me give you a little illustration. And the reason why is because of our parentage, our ancestry, all the way back to Adam. Listen, we all died in Adam. We all died in Adam. Now, I want you to stop and think about it. Our life now is in Christ. It has to be. And that came by a new birth, did it not? Listen, let the world mock being born again. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And the reason for that is because we need a new nature that will grant us eternal life. And that new nature is found only in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your grandfather would have died, where would you be? You wouldn't, would you? Because your life was in the life of your grandfather. That's just the way it is. And you want to bring it a little bit closer? Your father, if he had died before you were born, where would you be? You wouldn't. And so likewise, praise God that, yes, and he had to be crucified. The old man had to be crucified, but now we're born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our life now is hid with Christ. And it's because of his life that we have life. If we're not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ in that way, we've missed it. And we're dependent upon what we're doing and what we're not doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something else that's very important. What are you looking to God for? What are you looking to God for? Are you expecting to receive something from him? Or is it something just to appease the conscience? See, are we wanting to grow in the grace of God? That's important. A lot of people say, well, I've got salvation. I don't need anything more. Well, so be it unto you according to your faith is what the Word of God says. And some people don't even have the faith to believe that there's more than just salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, that's where it all begins, and that's a powerful beginning. But that's just the beginning. God says, I want more for you if you'll have it. And by the way, you have to seek it by faith. It doesn't just come by itself as a child of God. Is it possible to be a child of God and not grow in the grace of God? You can have eternity. You can believe that you are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's his righteousness alone that will grant you acceptance and entrance before the throne of God in heaven one day. And that's all true. But it should be troubling for us not to be concerned with experiencing all the promises that God has given to the children of God. And so I want you to understand this. Our old nature that we have along with us is very obstinate to spiritual things. And it's in conflict with it. Listen, I can never do that. I couldn't do that. No, maybe we're saying, I won't do that, right? God says, this is what I want you to do. I can't do that. Moses, I want you to speak to Pharaoh. I can't do that. I'm of slow speech. Was the Lord happy with that? No, he got put out with Moses. And Moses, finally the Lord said, okay, I'm going to let your brother speak for you in your place. And what happened as you read the times that he went before Pharaoh, it was Moses that was speaking because he realized, yes, I can do all things that God wants me to do by his grace and his power. And he experienced some things. But a lot of times we say we won't do things. He said he couldn't speak in public. Is it that we can't do it or that we won't do it? See, God, how do you, we were talking in Sunday school this morning and the question was asked, well, how do you know the will of God? Well, people are well, I need to know this and I need to know that. Well, God has laid out some very plain things that he says is the will of God in the New Testament. If we're not willing to do that, don't expect to find, I mean, listen, the Bible says that the Lord's church is important. Did he not? Does the Bible say that Jesus gave his blood for the church? Amen. Did he say it's important to assemble together in the church? Did he say it's important not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Well, only you and the Lord know. Listen, I understand providential hindrances. If you're sick, you need to stay home. But if you're not sick and it's an inconvenience thing and you don't want to do it and you're neglecting that, because you've had a rough day. I think the Lord may have had a rough day on the cross, don't you? And yet he still did it. Now listen, what I'm telling you is I want you to know something. We're not pleasing in the sight of God if we say we love him and we're not even doing what the plain, simple things that he's called us to do. And we think that we're going to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying? If we're already neglecting the simple things, listen, before God, I promise you, I am not wrong in this. I'm not wrong in it. God wants us to assemble together and make big about his church because God gave his blood for it. That's just the truth. I'm afraid today that some of the things that we think are great inconveniences, listen, we're not willing to grind some things out sometimes. Yes, sometimes it's tough, but is your God worth it? And yet sometimes we say, oh, you know, I'll just do it next time. Well, what we're doing is we're creating distance in our hearts between our God. I'll just have another time, or I'll just, listen, aren't you glad that Mary, when she anointed the Lord, because there was no other opportunity after that. The Lord was moving and she was able, and Mary and Martha. Martha got concerned about and perplexed and troubled about some other things, but her sister knew what she needed to do. How did she know that? I believe she was completely surrendered and willing to do whatever, even the little things she did, or what she thought, maybe what we think are little things are not. I think the Lord's church is pretty big in his heart and mind. I promise you, God is in complete agreement with what's being said right now. If he gave his blood for it, is it important to him? How important is it to us? How important is it to us? You know what? I'm sorry if sometimes people get offended at these things, but these things are what the Lord wants his people to know if we're going to move forward and grow and experience more of the grace of God. Unless we approach the Word of God and our relationship with the Lord as strictly academic. You'll never pick up the Spirit of the Lord. You may not even believe in that because you've not experienced it. Let me explain something to you. The Spirit of Christ indwells the believer. Do you agree with that? The Bible is more than a historical book. Is the Bible a spiritual book? The Bible, believe it or not, is even more than doctrine. Is it not? It's more than doctrine. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And do you know that the Lord has seen fit to take feeble man to honor and glorify himself? Amen. Do you know that it's God's will to glorify himself in your life and mine? That's the will of God. The hope of glory that's in you is Jesus Christ. And so God wants you and I to understand that he wants to be glorified in the body, in his bride that he gave his blood for. And that he rose from the dead for. That she might have the power and to be the witness and the testimony of the grace of God. But if that's not important to us, here's what happens. Listen, sometimes people can do this and they miss something. When you come to hear a message from the Word of God, do you realize that it's more than just the message that you're coming to hear? Do you realize that it is the Spirit of God that is wanting to comfort your heart as well? You may be familiar with the text, but what we should never be familiar with and what we're not familiar with is what the work of the Spirit wants to do in your heart and mind. There are preachers that are not very eloquent, that are not very good orators, but the Spirit of God is in them. Do you know that if you can get past their outline, if you can get past their imperfections, you will be in the company of the Lord. And his Holy Spirit working through that man will work in your heart and mind, and you will hear things that maybe the preacher's not even preaching on that you need. See, Peter completely misunderstood what the Lord was doing. Question, was the Lord wanting to do something spiritual in the heart and mind of Peter? All right, so let's watch this now. And here's what I want you to see here this morning. First of all, we'll take a look at the hour of departure. And that has to do with setting his house, the Lord's house, in order before he leaves. And then secondly, we'll take a look at the work of the master. And then we'll understand here, we'll take a look at lastly, the misunderstanding of the disciples. And that happens more often than we care to admit. But let's look at this, the commitment really that the Lord has to his own, all right? Look at verse 1. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Does God care about us? Absolutely. He loves us. He loves us with a sacrificial love like nobody else. And then we find here the devil's work. Look at verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So listen, in the midst of the work of God taking place, in the midst of the presence of the Lord, the devil is also working. Do you know when the word of God is sown, the Bible says the devil, like the fowls of the air, come quickly to snatch the seed out of the heart so that it doesn't manifest any fruit, so that it just becomes null and void, so that it just becomes something we hear and nothing that we do, something that we hear and no expectations from God to do something for us that would draw us closer and give us greater expectations and blessings into our lives. Let me ask you a question. Maybe not at this point, but did what the Lord do for the disciples make a difference in their life? After the resurrection, do you think they understood more about what God was doing for them? And likewise in our lives, as we feed on the Word of God and as we are yielded to the Lord, and listen, imperfect as these disciples were, they, I believe, in the best heart, they wanted the will of God in their lives. Did they have misunderstandings? Absolutely. Aren't you glad? Because we're in good company. So it's never too late. But are we pliable and are we submissive to the will of God? So here comes the devil doing his work. And we're reminded that all things, in spite of that, are still in God's hands. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, what does he do? He rises from supper. Now, here's the work of the Lord now. Here's the work of the Master, and we're going to look into this foot washing. Now, this is not a commandment that's been given. This was something that the Lord did that entailed an understanding that the Lord has to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus could have simply said, hey, listen, guys, wash your feet. Could he not have? But this was something that God needed to do for them. They would have never got the message unless God did this for them. So This foot washing can be equated to love for his disciples. It could also it also reveals, really, in verses 3 through 5, a voluntary humility. It also has to do with something spiritual, as we look here in verses 6 through 11. And it's also, we'll see here in verses 12 through 17, that it was an example to the disciples that the Lord wanted them to understand. So, as we consider this, verse 4 again, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Now, I want you to get this, all right? Wherever they're situated, the Lord has already done some of the disciples' feet. Can you see Peter watching all this? Do you think he had a smile, expectant face, or was he kind of a little bit maybe with a confused face? What? Maybe a little angry. If that was me, I would have told the Lord not to do it. Well, if he would have done that, he'd have been wrong. He's getting ready to tell the Lord not to do it. So maybe he's looking at these other disciples and saying, why in the world are you letting him do that for you? And yet it was the will of God. Do you know sometimes we can criticize other believers and they're doing exactly what God wants them to do? Do you know that some people would listen to this message and maybe be a little critical of the message this morning? And I want you to know I am convinced it's exactly what God wants me to do. Whether we receive it or not, that's something completely different. But I promise you in eternity, it will ring true. If it doesn't now, I pray it rings true now. And so we find here that Peter is watching all of this. And then verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Let me hold you up, Lord. Let me stop you from doing your will. I've got a question. And do you know the Lord graciously stops? If you want an explanation, if you have a question, I promise you, God wants to answer it. But sometimes we're only wanting to hear what we want to hear, and so we won't hear God's answer. Did you know that? God wants to answer our questions, but are we open to the idea that the answer is not going to be what we expected and still be good with it? Lord, not my will, not my understanding. See, sometimes we'll only approach the Word of God with my understanding and not the Lord's. And that will limit us. Had Peter stuck to his understanding, he would have never moved any further in his relationship with the Lord. But once God gave him the understanding, he was ready for a whole bath head to toe. And he still misunderstood because that's not what the Lord wanted to do. And he explained something very important here. So let me ask you this morning, how open are you to God's direction instead of your own? How open are you? How much do you really want God in your life? Then maybe you might evaluate the things God has already asked us to do and make sure that we're doing those things. Amen? If God says, this is what I want you to do, and I'm not doing those things, is it right or is it wrong? Well, we're quiet this morning. If God says, this is what I want you to do, and we're not doing them, is it right or is it wrong? It's wrong. Hey, you know what? Listen, do you believe this? Jesus is ready to come back. And I promise you, did Jesus say, now listen, you got to do this and you have to do that. You have to take care of this. You have to make sure you clothe yourself. You have to make sure you have a roof over your head. You have to make sure that you do all those things. And then if you have time, would you seek my kingdom? Is that what the Lord said? Well, boy, oh boy, I wonder if that's not how we're living. You don't understand, preacher. Tell it to the Lord. Tell it to the Lord because you're not going to stand before me. Well, the preacher understands. I might, but does the Lord? I'm not your judge. I believe everything you tell me. But between you and the Lord, is it right? Just saying. Do we want to do business with God or do we want to play church? Do we just want to do the social thing? Or do we really take for serious that we're going to look into the face of our Savior one day? God wants us to be right with Him if we want it. He's not going to force us. I hope you want to do it because you think that much of your Savior. I hope you're willing to say, you know what, Lord, I do want you first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then, and his righteousness, not ours, his righteousness. And then all these things would be taken care of. They'd all be added. They would all be added. We're worried about missing this and catching that and not doing this. And God says, I'll take care of all of that if you'll put me first. Some people say, well, I don't know why this is not working or why this is not going. Is God first? And by the way, it doesn't mean that you won't experience those things. God will give you the grace and understanding as to why you're going through those things. Do you know it is a hard thing to deny self. You know you can't do that by yourself. You know that. We cannot sanctify ourselves. That is a work of God. And once He allows us as His children to see self and self-will, once we can see that, we'll see it as He sees it, and it'll frighten us. Until that time, we're pretty proud of our ideas and what we think. But once we see that is the natural self and not the power of God, once we see that, we'll say, that's not good. See, here's what we think. Ready? Somebody who's born with the nature of gentleness. You know, there's some gentle people that aren't saved. You know that, right? They're just been brought up that way. However, it's their nature. They're just so kind. Oh, they'd be such a great Christian, wouldn't they? No, because that's still themselves. It's not the Lord. It's their nature, not God's. So you take somebody like that. Let me explain this to you. You take somebody with a gentle nature that is given to that gentle nature, and they get saved, and they still allow that gentle nature to guide them, and then God leads them like He led Peter before that man that was lame from his mother's womb to, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to heal him, and he's healed. And then they go leaping and praising into the temple of God. And then all of a sudden, all the other people start looking at Peter and John like they did that. And then he says, now I want you to speak up and tell them, Peter, that it's by the Lord's power, not yours, the one you crucified. Now I need you to stand up and be bold that they might be convicted. Oh, no, you don't understand. That's not me. You're right, it's not. And what you're given that's you is a stench in the nostrils of God. Because it's still you trying to be kind and trying to be gentle when God is saying, now I need you to be bold. But we're so led by what we think and how we feel and not the Spirit of God, we don't know what to do, when to do it. Isn't that true? And then we don't even know. Listen, if we're full of ourselves, we can have it flipped. God wants us to be gentle, and we're just going to give them what for. And that's still not the Spirit of God. It's got to be intertwined with the Spirit of God. Now, some received and some neglected to hear what Peter and John were saying. But some believed. And that's a good thing. God is wanting the church to be pliable in His hands and leadable by His Spirit. But if we don't even know what that is, if we think it's just me trying harder and me being better, we've missed the Spirit. Because we have nothing to do with it. It's all of God that has given to us His Spirit. See, then all of a sudden, we won't be so proud to say, well, let me just tell you what I think. Oh, no, I shudder to think that. Let me just tell you what I would do. Is it what God would do? See, that's the question. We won't be so proud to say, well, bless God, this is what I think. We'd be more concerned about what God thinks. And see, that will lead us in all the everyday things of life. And so here's Peter. He's got it in his heart and mind, I'm going to honor the Lord. Don't wash my feet. And this is really the supernatural work of the Lord. By the way, listen. We won't go there, but Leviticus chapter 8, Moses prepared the priesthood, the priest, Aaron and all. He washed their feet before they were getting ready to minister the things of God. You know, this is a preparation before the Holy Spirit to empower the church where they're going to go serve. And so there was an empowering process and a cleansing process and a cleansing process that only the Lord can do. And this is a cleansing process. The Holy Spirit is a cleansing process in the life of the believer. Where's the Holy Spirit? Well, we pull them out when we want them. We take them out when it seems right to us. I don't think that's the way he works. Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never," "wash my feet." Now, wait a minute, get this. The Lord just said, "What I'm doing right now, you don't understand." Peter, in the midst of his ignorance, is this Peter or the Holy Spirit? "Lord, you'll never do that to me." In his ignorance. "Lord, you will never do that. Lord, you will never lead me by your Holy Spirit." Is he saved? He's saved, but he's telling God, "You'll never do that." Jesus answered in verse 8, answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." You know why the Lord said that? Because he knew Peter. You know what he knew about Peter? That Peter was ignorant, naive, let's just make it a little nicer, but he still loved him. He knew Peter loved him. Wait, fathom this. Did the Lord know that Peter was yet to reject him and deny him? That was not even in the Lord's, you know, he knew that, but he was focused on his love towards Peter. Listen, as he's focused towards his love toward you and I. Do you think he knows we will fail in the future? Is that what he's looking to? He's looking to you personally and what you want from him. Do you know that this is what the Lord knew? Ready? The Lord knew that Peter wanted everything God wanted to give him. Peter didn't understand how to get it. Truth, listen, we don't always understand it either. And that's why Peter's our example. And he's wanting us to understand. All these things have been written for our admonition, for our correction, for our guidance, that we might understand. All right. So, he says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Do it all, Lord." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed," you're already cleansed, you're saved, "needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit." And notice this, "And ye are clean, but not all." He's talking about Judas, he knew. The Lord knows who belong to him. The Lord knows those that belong, those are that belong to him. And the Lord also knows those who have no concern. Judas had no concern. He accompanied with him, did all these things. He could care less. For he knew, verse 11, who should betray him. Therefore he said, "Ye are not all clean." So after that he washed their feet and had taken... And by the way, all the other disciples learned a lesson too. Here's what some of... Possibly, listen... Could some of the disciples that went before Peter, when the Lord was washing their feet, said, "Boy, oh boy, this is a little bit uncomfortable. This is kind of awkward. I should be washing the Lord's feet. But he knows what he's doing. I'm going to let him do it. It's uncomfortable, but he knows what he's doing." This is a good thing. Listen, we may not understand everything about the Holy Spirit, but it's a good thing to let God do it. Because he knows what he's doing, and we'll come to like it and understand it better as we go through it, as we allow the Lord to do his work. All right, so he says this. So he's verse 11, "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then your master... Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Listen, I'm convinced, if you'll go back and read Leviticus chapter 8, 1 through 12, you'll see it was a spiritual preparation for the empowering of the church, the anointing oil of the Spirit of God. But I want you to understand something. It has to do with encouraging the people of God to follow him in the power of God. He says, listen, I want you to know this is your preparation for receiving the Holy Spirit to indwell the people of God like never before. And so when I do this to you, it is important that you do this to other believers, encouraging them to understand, to guide them and help them understand the purpose and the reason for the Holy Spirit that has indwelt every believer. Do you really think that every believer that's been indwelt with the Holy Spirit knows what it's there for? Knows what he's there for? I'm sealed. That's what he's there for. No, he's to lead us into all truth. And he's to empower our life. And we're to be filled with the Spirit that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How much does the church know what the filling of the Spirit is all about? The empowering of the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, you know what we want to say? I'm cleansed by the blood. Praise God, I can do these things. I don't have to be different than the world because I'm cleansed by the blood. No, the Bible teaches that if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to walk in sin. Amen. If he's the one that's leading my life, we're not going to be attracted to it. Unless we don't believe that. Then we've hindered him. Oh, wait. We've grieved him. If we don't believe him, we've grieved him. If you come to God asking him for something, you've got to believe that he is. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you won't ask and you won't expect to overcome anything. I can't overcome sin in my life, but the Spirit that indwells me can, has, and will. That doesn't mean, in case you wondered, that I can't fail. Oh no, I can. But I don't have to walk and waller in the mire because of the grace of God. And I can thank him. I know what I can and cannot do. And when I see the Lord's Spirit working in me, I'm having a praise session. When he gives me the victory, and he does, on a daily basis, I can praise his name. And I want you to know something. Listen, he wants to do that for every believer. That you might know that there is a God in heaven that is interested in your success. That is interested. Listen, you have a Savior in heaven that is wanting you and I to receive a full reward. A full reward. Not a partial, a full reward. You have a Savior in heaven that has indwelt us with the Holy Spirit that wants you to hear, listen, from his lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you know what we'll do? Amen. We will bow ourselves before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, worthy is the Lamb who has done all these things for me. Not one soul will stand before the Lord. Yeah, I was pretty good, wasn't I? Huh? Yeah, I was pretty good. You like that? Want to see some more? Man, we're so far away from God if we think that. Because there's nothing in us that we can do. There are people out there that are so proud of themselves. They're going to do this for Jesus. They're going to do that for Jesus. And Jesus may not even be asking them to do it. Some of that stuff that they're doing, I know he's not. Because it's not him. I don't think there's any such thing as a Christian prostitute. Do you? I don't think there's any such thing as a Christian drug dealer. Do you? There's a lot of things that's just not Christ-like that people who profess Christ are involved with. I kid you not. People who profess to know the Lord are starting to look more like the world. I thought the Lord said we'd be less like the world. And listen, please, don't misunderstand me. It goes beyond the physical realm. I don't judge people because of their outward appearance. There are some things that people will do that are permanent. And I won't judge them for it because maybe they did that before they got saved. I don't know. But I surely have a problem with us trying to identify with what the world is identifying with, and we profess to be saved. I think that's a problem. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And he says, now I tell you before it come to pass, when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And I want you to know, listen, as you consider this, he's saying, I want you to understand this, I want you to hear this, because then when it comes to pass, you're going to have the aha moment. You're going to have the aha moment. And if we'll believe the word of God and seek him in that, he'll perform it, and we'll say, yep, just like he said. The question, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know what that is? Jesus doing something for us. The question this morning is that what we're saying to the Lord when we expect them? We don't want you to do any more for me, Lord. Lord, are you going to do more for me? No. No. And not understanding. It'd be a good thing for us to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to read your word with understanding. Teach me to hear from you. Crucify my flesh, God, I can't do it. Sanctify my life for your honor and glory. Create in me a desire to put you before all things. Question this morning, just to you, between you and the Lord. Are all things under the Lord? Is God first in all things? Or are there some things that we put before the Lord? The Lord told the disciples, what I'm doing, you may not understand right now, but you will. That's a step of faith. They believed him. They still had challenges. But many a times in their prayers, in their communion with the Lord, they must have said, Lord, how merciful you are. In my ignorance, the things that I've done, and yet you still love me. And still use me. Again, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. Peter was going to deny him. And even still after that, he thought the Lord was through, didn't he? And the Lord said, tell the disciples I've risen. Oh, and Peter, no, he wasn't an afterthought. And Peter, make sure you tell him, because I love him. Listen, and if you're a saved child of God, he loves us.